So our reading is taken from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 to 11. And you can find it on page 202, that's 202, on the church Bible, at the back of the Bible. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourself know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for our helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Father, we know that unless you illuminate the word to us by the Holy Spirit, by your power, we cannot understand the mystery that you want to reveal to us. Father, I pray today that you would go on speaking to us, communicating with us. But Father, ask that you would open any gospel deaf ears, that your message will be heard and no one will miss the grace. So we commit this time, Lord, to you, and we thank you, Father, for your love and for your teaching. We ask that you would cover us with the blood of Jesus as we talk about this particular subject. We ask that you would station angels all around us. We bind any satanic interference, and we command that that the enemy cannot hear us, see us, or know us at this time as we meet with you at the throne of grace for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, I'm praying like that because we're going to talk about a message which is actually anti-Halloween. You'll have a bit of paper which is the same verse we've just read but in a modern version, which I find very helpful. NLT, the New Living Translation, I find very readable and very good when you are trying to find out what the modern equivalent is with some of the words that are used. I'm going to look at this bit of paper and read from it and see the little four, verse four. Just read that section, I am. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. And you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Now that's what I believe God is wanting us to do. Because Paul says he does not want us to be ignorant of the devil's devices. He doesn't want us to be outwitted and outsmarted by the devil. So the Lord is trying to help us learn not just about him. We come every Sunday to learn about the Lord Jesus. We come every Sunday to learn more about the God we believe in. But while we're learning about God, God also wants us to learn about his enemy. And it's important we know this, because how we live, we will not understand about living in the light of Christ if we don't know what the darkness is. I read a book recently called, I've read it again and again, really. It's called How to Avoid Tragedy and Live a Better Life. If we want to avoid tragedy and live a better life, our starting point is always God and His Word. Because the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I'm sure we are agreed, are we? We all want to avoid tragedy and live a better life. And the Lord said that Jesus came to give us life, and life abundantly. Now, we know we're going to have trouble every day. We're warned about that. But He also says, Jesus also says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but He will come and rescue us from them. And that's what we need to know all the time. We need to have that security of understanding that we believe in a God who loves us and He keeps His promise. He's not unfaithful. There's a well-known verse that some of you may know, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. It says in our Bibles here, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The modern translation from NLT says, my people are being destroyed because they don't know me. Today I want to introduce you to the God you believe in and the enemy that we are standing with God that we are resisting and opposing. The Lord is saying to us that, you know, if we know Him, He can protect us. If you look at Psalm 91, if you ever feel the need, it's a wonderful protection prayer to pray around your home, to pray before you go to bed. It's a wonderful prayer, a wonderful psalm of protection. And that God reassures us that He will deliver us. He reassures us that if we know Him, He will rescue us. God reassures us that He gives His angels charge over us. Jesus said, I've come to save you. I've come to set you free. Now, yet many people, and I'm sure we all know who they are, and I've been one of them myself, may be moaning and desperate, but won't acknowledge God. I've been there. Even though I've been a Christian now for, I'll count the years back, nearly 40 years now. That's how old I am. I'm not extinct yet, but it's a long time. But I still remember 40 years ago when I wouldn't acknowledge God. What I did was what a lot of Christians do today. I ran to the phone, not to the throne. We should be going to God straight away when we've got a problem. But what do? We chat with our friends. Well, I don't know about the men. I think the women can identify with me. We can talk to our best friend or ring up somebody rather than pray. Well, I've had to drastically change my life. What God wants us to know is who His enemy is, and I know you all know his name, and that is Satan. We call him Lucifer, we call him Satan, we call him the devil, all sorts of things, the enemy, okay? Now, Satan doesn't want to be known, but God doesn't want us to be outwitted. So the thing is, in 2 Corinthians 2:11, we are told that so that we may not be outwitted by Satan, we are not to be ignorant of his designs. The modern version is saying so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. Now be careful, it's not saying you've got to start learning about witchcraft or learning about all these awful things, no, but to be familiar. You know certain things in passing. Now, I'm not going to embarrass people, make them put up their hands, but I know for a fact that there are quite a few people here who have backgrounds in which they know about witchcraft. They know that it's real. Now, before I became a Christian, my background was Buddhist and Taoist, and we worshipped the dead. We worshipped our ancestors, and it was a demonic worship. Some of you have heard me say this before. We cooked beautiful food, put it on the graves of my parents, and I had to line up all the alcohol and the tea and then pour it into the ground, and we offer the spirits to eat. We bow 3 times, we on our knees on a mat with our forehead touching the ground. Then we bow 3 times and we stand up. We burn joss sticks, we burn incense, and the incense is like a telephone call to the demons. And we are not allowed to kill any of the insects that we see or worms, because they could be our ancestors, because we believed in reincarnation. So we've been through all that, and when I became a Christian, and that's why I want to share this with you, because I don't know everyone's background, I had to make a decision. My vicar didn't know what I was doing, if it was wrong, because it's not everyone knows what Chinese people do, African people do, Mauritian people do. We don't know everyone's culture. And he just said, you know, you have to go by how you, what you sense. And I increasingly felt uncomfortable going to church on Sunday and then doing this other worship on other time at other times. And I knew that if I said to my family, I want to stop doing this because I believe in God, they are within their rights to cut me out of the family and treat me as though I was dead or that I'd never existed. So it was a gigantic risk. But I prayed and fasted for 3 days because I really was frightened. And I love my family, and I didn't want to not ever see them again. By the time I rang my brother, who was then the eldest boy in the family, and therefore like a patriarch, I suppose, took a risk. I rang him and I thought, this is, he's going to hang up on me, you know, and say, this is it, you're dead. But when I told him how I felt, and it was the Lord who helped me to be able to say it in a nice and a loving, humble way, he then surprised me, because he had recently married, and I didn't know my sister-in-law very well, and he said, well, you know, your sister-in-law's a Christian, and she won't worship with us, but I keep food back in the car that's not been worshipped over, and instead of using joss-sticks and incense, she can, you know, bring flowers and then just put it at the grave. And I felt like Abraham and Isaac. I know when Abraham lifted his knife to plunge into Isaac, I don't think he was thinking, well, I'll do it because any minute God's going to stop me and I don't have to do it. I think he just had to trust God and he was going to do it. So when I picked up the phone, it was like I was going to do this and cut and break and burn all my bridges. But thank the Lord, he saved me. Just as God's voice came out of heaven and saved Abraham. I know it's not as dramatic or as bloody, but the thing is, it, for me, it was cutting my lifeline. So I just, you know, thank God and praise the Lord about that. But what I learned from that experience, and I encourage you all, if you have any decisions to make about where you stand for God, whether it's about salvation because you haven't quite decided I'm going to ask Jesus into my life and ask him to be the Lord of my life, or whether there are other decisions where you are wavering, even though, yes, you are a believer, but I would advise you, while you can, while you have the strength, while things are not topsy-turvy, that's a decision to be clear-headed and make that decision for God. Because interestingly enough, if you've ever, and I'm sure we've all done this, when you're in the middle of a crisis and you're trying to make a decision, there's more chance of making the wrong one. You make the decision when you're clear-headed and when you are able to think seriously and you are able to see what is happening and you're not in the midst of chaos. So I would encourage you to do that. And that's how we've got to be now as we are looking at our enemy. You have to make up your mind at this point that God is a person who you can trust. God is a person who has promised he will love you forever and he's not going to let you down. Because you need to be in a place where you really feel safe, that you're not frightened, that you really know God is real to you. Sometimes we don't know in our knowing. Sometimes we can't feel, and God is invisible. But trust is actually walking by faith, not by sight. If you want to see everything, know everything, then it's not faith. You're walking by sight. And if you want to know everything about God and exactly everything he does in detail, then he's not God, he's another human being. But God said, my ways are higher. And, you never knew that phones could just pop out like that, could you? Okay, I hope it's not a contractor doing the basement. We have to know that we can trust God, and we have to be absolutely certain, because when we talk about the enemy, I know a lot of people get scared. Now, I'm praying that everybody here will be quite calm and not to be afraid, but we need to wise up. And some of the things I'm going to say, you might actually think, look, this is a bit silly. It's a bit far-fetched. It's so removed from our physical world. We're sitting here quietly. There's nothing going on. We're not seeing any crazy stuff or monsters or anything like that. So first I'm going to start with death. Now, as Christians, we actually believe we die only once, and after that there's judgment. So when we die, we're actually asleep, and Jesus will come back and raise us up with him. He's coming again. And what Halloween is about is actually a complete blasphemy of that, because what's happening on the 31st October, and I'm not going to go into detail, but it's from direct contact. One lady has died now, but she was very high up as a witch and became a Christian. Another lady, one or two of us here know her, she's not in this congregation, who's had to completely leave her family to get out of the generations of witchcraft that has been in her family. And the thing is, what has been a revelation to me is when this particular lady, their family had seances twice a day, and then they're instructed by demons what to make. They sell it at church fairs, and the church thinks, oh, this is great, because they've made money from it. They make lovely stuff. But before they give the stuff to the church, after they've made them, they put spells in them, whether it's to break up your marriage or to destroy your family, whatever. And a lot of Christians will say, oh, but this is crazy. You can't have a demon in an inanimate object. Well, coming from the kind of religion that believes in reincarnation and inanimate things that have spells on it, and that, to me, it's not far-fetched. And I have seen it work, and I think some of us here might have seen these things work. So I just want to apprise you of this, because a lot of people do not have this experience of hearing this kind of thing. We're not to be afraid, we're to be realistic. We're not to be nervous, we're to be intelligent about this, because God has also given us a brain to process all these facts. So about death, we are going to be falling asleep when we die, and Jesus will come back for us. On the 31st of October is a time that Satanists and people in the occult will tell you that it's the only time they can do certain types of spells that will only work at that time, is on the satanic calendar. And the reason it works is they believe that time of the year, on the 31st, there is like a veil between the living world and the world of the dead. It's like a boundary. And that boundary is dissolved on that night. And that they believe that the dead will come back and roam the streets. Now, we know the dead don't come back, because we believe when you're dead, you're asleep. There are certainly spirits, but they're not from God, and they're not human. And the superstition was, many centuries ago, is that if this is what happens on that night, then people who are mortal, like us, it is dangerous for us to be out in the streets and to travel. And so the way to do it was to disguise ourselves. So we dress up as witches or ghouls, as ghosts and any ugly monster, and you blend in with all these roaming dead, so to speak. And that's the origin of dressing up, to disguise yourself as one of the dead, decaying people, so that they won't know that you are actually mortal, for your protection. So I ask myself, when we do know this kind of thing, and this is not to put any condemnation or guilt on anybody, but when your child is asking to dress up as a certain character, which is an unpleasant character, there is a mother sitting right here who actually said to me the other day, my child was asking me about dressing up, I think, as a monster and that. And this godly woman had said to the child, well, why do you want to do that? What is that? And in her line of questioning, helped this little child to understand that it wasn't something I think they wanted or that was good or pleasant or godly, but it's only because everybody else is doing it. And I think that we have to be careful even as adults. You might not be dressing up, but how often are you under peer pressure? How often do you do things because your friend does it, or some other family does it, or the community that you're living in, they do that, so we go along and do the same thing. That's why I say you need to make a decision before God on what you do believe. Now, you don't know what you believe unless you read the Bible. All the instructions are in the Bible. This is your manual. October 31st is also a good time for telling fortunes, because people then believe the spirits are more easily reached, because that boundary has been dissolved for that moment. And Halloween, I won't go into all the details about All Hallows Eve and so on, but Halloween is really the Day of the Dead. And Samhain is the Lord of the Dead. So all the feasting that people do, you know, the parties they're having, the dressing up, and lots of... Everyone's seen recipes, haven't they, for all the different foods and pumpkin and... somebody left us some cakes there, but I threw away the box because it was full of witches' cauldron pictures and all sorts of things around it. And they are celebrating, and they're talking about trick and treat. And what the trick and treat is this, it's actually very nasty, it's a threat. If you don't treat us, we're going to play a trick on you. And the thing is, what they do, is it's not big here in this country yet. It's very, very big in America. And they're actually setting aside that day. They call it it's really holiday, it's a holy day. So now besides Christmas, Easter and everything, Halloween is a holy day, it's a holiday. And it's a very big thing. But what they're doing is glorifying Satan. It's a day of the dead. They're worshipping the Lord of the dead. They're glorifying the devil. That's what Halloween is about. And I just want you all to be very, very aware. So when you are passing the supermarket, I mean, loads of costumes everywhere, you can't escape from it. And when you're passing, why don't you say a prayer for safety for the children and even the adults? Because in America, the churches are encouraging Christians to pray that God would prevent the harm, the killing, and the sacrifices of humans and animals. It isn't far-fetched. The question we have to ask ourselves when we... Now, we're not just talking about ourselves, not to feel guilt or condemnation, but the question we need to ask ourselves when we see what other people are doing, and some people are Christians... Why would a born-again Christian want to worship the devil? Let alone dress up as an ugly thing that's come back from the dead. When Jesus has said, when I come back for you, you'll be raised from the dead. And when we go with him, we're transformed. Our bodies are transformed. We don't go back with Jesus as a ghost or a witch or a monster. It's a complete blasphemy of the whole thing, a wonderful thing that Jesus is going to do. Many Christians are confused about good and evil because they don't know God's word. And if you don't know God's word, you're going to be ignorant of the devil's schemes. We are told in God's word. Now, once you're deceived and you think it's all right, of course you're going to think it's a bit of harmless fun. Have any of you ever heard that? It's just a bit of harmless fun. Your child has to be involved with Halloween things at school sometimes. They have school parties, school things. This is in the school of your children. What about your neighbour's friends or your child's other friends? And they're invited to this, that and the other. It's a very hard decision for a Christian mother and father to make. But even as an adult, you can be invited to parties. It is a hard decision for a Christian to make. Because we don't want to be a laughing stock. We want the approval of our friends. How do we witness to them and be a friend? And even though Brian did say the other day, which is right, we need to. Sometimes we have to stick out like a sore thumb. But this is a decision that each of you as parents and as adults need to make for yourself. you have to be guided by the Lord Jesus and the conscience that you have, that he is speaking to you through your conscience. Now, some of our children, they love drawing monsters and everything, but some of them are also frightened and they have nightmares. Now, I'm sure some of you had that experience. So my other question is this. So why do we allow children to dress up as a witch or ghost or monster that they're normally frightened of? Why? Now, this is rather extreme. This is the least extreme one I've found.
It's the mildest.
I will ask you to put your hands up. Who was told from a young age, don't take sweets from strangers? Well, lots of us, see? And yet, for tricking and treating, do you know you can take sweets from strangers? Now, I know that often we've had people come to the door and the parents are sort of hovering in the background, I know. But this is not a nice picture. As you can see, when you get it gets to you, I think it's either a Snickers bar or Mars bar. Or something. It must be a Snickers bar, because it is American, I think. And the child bit into it and found a needle. There are strange people in our world. There are people who are mentally unstable. There are people who are unkind and dangerous. Do we agree? We don't know. We're not trying to give everybody a bad press, but let's be realistic. So that's just another warning. These aren't to frighten you, because if I don't tell you, who's going to tell you? You may already know about it anyway. But I was told not to take sweets from a stranger, and I taught my daughter that, and we've stuck to it. But you see, today is harder. That's why you have to seek God's help. Now, where do we go from here then? What I want to say is to say to you, whether you're a parent or not, if you're an adult, you can be praying about, if you're still at an age where you're invited to go places, to party and so on, you might not even be in that circle, but then there are people who might be parents, and maybe some of you are not yet parents. But this is information for the future. The main thing for you to do at this point now, as a parent and as an adult Christian, is to pray for protection every day. You pray for protection for yourself and you pray for protection for your child. Your child is 6 hours every day under somebody else's guidance and influence, and they're taking information into their brain 6 hours a day from somebody else who does not have your values. If you don't put your values into your child, somebody else is going to. I've had so many parents say to me, I don't want to influence my child about church and about Christianity. I want them to make up their own minds later when they're older. I say too late. Because children are gathering information all the time. And when they're little, especially from the age of 3, their mind is like a sponge. They gather information very fast. That's why Stonewall, the LGBT people, want to start 3-year-olds now on videos to understand you can have 2 daddies, 2 mummies, everything is normal. Everything's being normalised, that's not normal. Margaret isn't here today, but Margaret has to deal with a lot of schoolboys, or teenagers, and a lot of them are thinking they might be girls. And one boy now has got permission to come to school in a skirt. And there's just a whole lot of what I call confusion. People are getting very confused. And it's strange, isn't it? Because you look in the mirror and you know if you're a man or woman, boy and girl. What's the confusion? But there is. Because there are a lot of influences out there that are affecting our mind and our thinking and our attitudes. And we're here today as Christians to come back to the original design and what God has asked us to do. And the reason God has asked us to do certain things or not do certain things is not to spoil our fun, it's because he wants to protect us. How many of you, and this is a rhetorical question, you don't have to put your hands up, how many of you might have smacked your child or shout at them not to go near a flame or touch a hob or touch a hot heater? How many of you have been in a position where there are things that are dangerous and you've had to act in an involuntary way? You wouldn't normally make a fuss. Why do we do that? Why would we even smack our child if they keep touching something like the electrical cord or trying to stick a knife into the socket? You know, I mean, children are children. That's why they're called children. They don't know they can get electrocuted. So why do we try to prevent them having fun? Why don't we let them stick the fork in the socket? Why don't we let them touch the flame on the hob? Why? Because we know why. It's protection. And so God is trying to protect us from things that we are arrogantly thinking, oh, it's all right, we know what we're doing. But you see, one thing I'm going to ask you is that, can any of you see the future? Because we can't. Only God can. He sees what we do today. He sees the consequences. Everything has a cause and effect. Everything has action and consequence. So this is why I'm really urging you, trust God. Look at his word again. Read it again. Make sure you understand what he's saying. But don't take offense. Because I just say that the Bible and Jesus, they will offend us. He will offend us. But today I want to dispel any ignorance at all. And don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If you learn the truth, stand firm on your belief and faith, and you'll be able to teach your children and pray with them, which is part of their protection. Remember too that even though what you've heard, you think, oh well, you know, some people do this, I don't have anything to do with evil, I don't go around with people like that, I really don't want to hear about it, I don't even know if I believe it. Please do not be deceived. You might not perform evil, you might not want to do spells, but you know, even if you're driving, and many of you might be drivers, have you seen people who've cut across in front of you, they've done the wrong, but they've turned around and given you a finger sign or sworn at you? Have you had that experience? They're cursing you, it's a curse. It's a curse. Because when they say to you, even the law courts would agree, some of the expletives that comes out of people, it's a curse. But they don't call it a word curse, but it is a curse. And what you do, what happens, you can feel a bit shaken sometimes too. And it's very unpleasant. But when that happens, you can just say, Lord, I cut that off, bless them, just bless them. But get it off you. But some of us know it can disturb you for quite a few hours afterwards. And what they might have mouthed at you, whatever. So none of you might be sitting here and saying, well, I don't practice evil. I don't know. But quite a few of you, I've found out, know a lot about voodoo and witchcraft here, right here in this room. And there are certain people here, and I'm not looking at anybody. And they know it's real and dangerous. But you know what's the worst thing of all? It grieves God. It really grieves God. But we know God is greater, and he has victory over evil. So please read Ephesians 6. Please look at the armour of God and the pieces of armour that we have. Please understand the word is the sword of the spirit. And our most powerful weapon of all is prayer. And yet, strangely, prayer meetings are the least attended, least well attended. And also, praying, a lot of people feel like it's doing nothing. Doesn't it feel like nothing when you're praying? It feels like you're just talking to nobody. And does it feel like it's just like nothing? Well, the devil would love that. He'd love you to feel like it's nothing, because then you won't do it. But it's the most powerful thing of all. Because 2 Corinthians says, we do not wage war according to human standards. For the weapons of our warfare are not merely human, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. Now, this last bit I want to say to you is that I was on a train going through Clapham Junction. And I was with my daughter, and some of you might have heard this. And we were having a conversation. I can't remember, we were talking about the armour of God, but something spiritual. And a very nice lady sitting across from us said, look, I'm sorry if I'm listening to a conversation. It's very interesting. Do you mind if I keep listening? And we said, oh, no. It seemed very pleasant. when she was getting to go off the train, and you know how the train's very crowded, and so it takes a bit of time to work your way through to the door. So she got up before the train stopped, and she was on her way out, and she said, well, thank you very much. And I said, oh, are you a Christian? She said, no, I'm a witch. But I know you're a Christian because you're marked. And I went to look in the Bible to see, hang on, everything's in the Bible, marked. I looked it up. And guess what I found? That in the Bible, we are told we are marked with a seal of the Holy Spirit. When you become a Christian, I don't mind Asenath walking around. When you are a Christian, you are marked by the seal of the Holy Spirit. You don't think you know each other who's a Christian. And some people, you think, well, she says she's a Christian, or he says she's a Christian, but oh, you know what they are doing? Well, I need to heed you about what the Bible says again. It's by their fruit that you will know them. Anyone can say they're a Christian. I can tell you I'm a potato. You know, I'm a courgette, actually. You know, I can say anything I like, but it's what you see. You will get the evidence. Do I look like a courgette? Please don't say yes. Potato more courgette, no. But really, anyone can tell you they're a Christian. You don't fall for everything, because it says it's by their fruit that you'll know them. So we're not going around judging everybody, but God gives us a level of faith to discern. We're not to be totally stupid and foolish. So if you're a Christian, you are marked with a seal of the Holy Spirit, and people who are not of Christ will recognize you. I have also been asked to stop praying. I was annoying somebody, and I wasn't even praying aloud. But she said I was interfering with her spell, and I was diluting her power. And I was thinking to myself, good job, and I kept praying, right? But I've actually been asked, so there was two particular incidences that was in my face. I said to God, I need evidence. Because people think this is really crazy. Please show me if this is right. And I've had to work with so many people either coming out of witchcraft. I ask you, please, you know, if you make an appointment for prayer with myself, with Bill, if you've ever been into the occult, if you've played with Ouija boards, if you've had your palm read, because the thing is, we don't want you to be left with any spiritual residue that is not from God. So the thing is, just remember, if you are a Christian today, you are marked with a seal of the Holy Spirit. And if you ever wonder, if you've ever been in a situation in work or anywhere where someone you have never met before and you've done nothing to can suddenly be extremely unpleasant to you and offhand with you, if you wonder why, you need to wonder why. Because if you have the Christ light in you, people do not have the Christ light in you, they are coming in the opposite spirit, because there's only two ways to live. You're either for God or you're against God. It sounds pretty harsh, but even the nicest people, if they don't believe in Jesus the way you do, somewhere along the line in your friendship, you will come to a disagreement. Because what has dark got to do with light? So it's not putting them down. If they're your friends or your loved ones or your family, just keep praying. I prayed 40 years, and thank God, my sister who's 86 or 87 now, gosh, the years have rolled by fast, maybe 88, she got baptized. Was it last Christmas? It was last Christmas. And my brother, who has since passed away, they said he had 2 days to live. And my sister-in-law rang, and we prayed down the phone that he was not going anywhere until he became a Christian. He lived for another 6 months, and he got baptized. And then he went to be with the Lord last Christmas. So please be encouraged. Know there's evil. Know what it looks like. Know how it comes. Don't be deceived, but you stay on track with God. Praise the Lord. Amen.